that I believe that God wanted me to share throughout this day, morning and evening service. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to go forward, and then we're going to back up, and then we're going to pick back up where I feel like I need to finish tonight. And I told Jan this morning to get her fingers ready up there, because we got a lot of scripture to look at tonight and a long ways to go. And I'll do my best to let you out of here by 9:38. I'll do my best to be done by then. I want to talk to you this evening and tie it together with a little bit of this morning. Now, I got to move that cord. I'm already stepping all over it. Jody, if you'll help me get that out of the way. But I want to tie this back in, but I want to talk to you about a very overlooked topic. I want to tie it together if there's any way I can do this. But before I actually share the scripture with you this evening, I've just got to give you what God gives me. I never really know exactly how it's going to come out until I get up here. God shows me as I study the idea, the concept. I study. Sometimes I have a decent outline. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have nothing but a word. Sometimes I have nothing but a sentence, Brother Beckner. And God fills in the gaps. And tonight I feel like I'm a little bit between both. The reason I say that is because I feel like God began to deal with my heart Friday about what I would preach here this weekend. I mentioned part of it this morning. I want to preach the rest of it tonight and sort of kindly try to tie it together. Stretch your hands this way and pray for me tonight. Father, I'm frail. God, without you, I can't. I realize I'm clay. I realize, God, that without your anointing, I can't even do this. God, without your touch on my life, I cannot do this. But Father, I pray, Father, Lord God, right now that you would take this moment in time, this next little bit of time that you've given us on the clock, on the calendar, this moment in our life that can never be recalled again. And Lord, let us use these moments of the time that you've given us to advance your kingdom. And Father, no matter who may be sitting on these pews, and no matter who may be listening to me online, let this moment be your moment. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do or what I can do or I can't do. I'm not a performer. I'm not trying to perform. I'm not trying to get any accolades or momentum posted upon me this evening, upon my lapel or anything else. But God, I humbly ask you, Lord, to touch me. Give me every word that I'm to speak. As you said in the book of Revelation, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. God, I just simply ask you to give me the words that I'm to speak. And I appreciate it. And I thank you, Father, in advance for that that you're doing and that you've already done and that you will do. And Father, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you over the next little while this evening on the topic of breaking free from satanic strongholds. And you think the church today don't have any strongholds. Sometimes, even in my own life, the devil tries to get me thinking the way that he would have me to think. He would have me acting in a way that I ordinarily would not be acting. To do the things that would be totally and contradictory to my Christian walk. And you think, well, I have never had the devil do that to me. The reason is he's got you. And he don't have to. Because he's already got you where he wants you. But anytime you begin to walk in an anointing, and anytime you begin to be a threat to his kingdom, then the devil pulls out every bit of his artillery to do anything and everything he can do to defeat you. We talked about defeatists this morning. We talked about defeatism. We're going to talk about that again here in just a little bit. We're going to tie it together. But I want us to understand that God did not call us to be defeated. He did not call his church to be a defeated church. The book of Ephesians, he describes the church as a glorious church, not having spot or blemish or any such thing. The Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. We don't do what we want to do. We do what he wants us to do. And we work God's plan. The Bible teaches us not to yield our members to be members that would edify and glorify the flesh, but to yield our members unto him that would bring glory and honor and praise to his precious name. When we begin to look at some scripture, a couple of places I wanted to turn to again this evening is, first of all, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, you would look at some scripture, and I'm going to tie this together with other scriptures here in just a little bit. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, capital letter S, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but I've sometimes stumbled at that verse of Scripture. Why was Jesus, the Son of God, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? I'll tell you what I believe in a little bit. So hang on to that for a minute. When we begin to read this, we see this, that Jesus had fasted in verse number 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And those of you that know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus ate fish, Jesus drank just along the side of the disciples, and he had to have water, he had to have replenishing in his personal man. And he was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you would think, and I would think, if you had committed your ways to God and you had followed after God and you had sought God for some 40 days and 40 nights in fasting and praying, that the devil would be somewhere a long, 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 long way from him. But yet I see this in the Scripture that when Jesus had fasted and prayed, probably Brother Beckner, at his weakest physical moment, is when the enemy came attacking him. The enemy jumped on him, just bam, just like that. And then he begins to question Jesus as far as who Jesus was. If thou be the Son of God, if you are really who you say you are. How many times have you and I felt the same way, as the enemy would come and the enemy would jump on your back to defeat you, to make you begin to think that you're really not a Christian, to make you really ask yourself the question, why should I even continue to serve God? Look at myself. Look at my situation. Look at my life. Now, I don't know if the devil's done that to anybody in this room, but I know he would if he could, and he would allow him to, because he done it to Jesus. Tried to get Jesus even to doubt that he was God's only begotten Son. And the enemy jumped all over him. When you look in the book of Luke, chapter number 4, again, it's the same place. Mark records it as well. And they all record it in a little bit of a different fashion. But again, every one of them verified that the enemy came and the enemy jumped on Jesus. And again, the Bible says, and when Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what I got out of that? Just because you're full of the Holy Ghost, it don't keep the devil from coming to try to defeat you. Just because you're spirit-filled, it don't keep the devil from trying to defeat you. Just because you speak in tongues, it don't keep the devil from trying to defeat you. Trying to be good. I ain't ready yet. And this is what he says. And he said, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days, or 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when he were ended, or when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse 3 says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread. And Jesus told him, and Jesus replied back to him. And Jesus said in verse number 4, answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all the power that I give thee. It wasn't his to give. The Bible says that Satan is a liar. From the beginning, he's lied from the very beginning of time. Even if you go back into Genesis chapter number 3, and you begin to look at the attack on Adam and Eve in the garden, it was even a satanic lie there that deceived them. When they believed what Satan had to say, it led them to their defeat. It led them to their defeat. When we begin to think about this very thing this afternoon, and I want to pick back up a little bit about where I was at this morning moving forward. When you think about defeat, a defeatist and an individual, as I mentioned this morning, we talked about that. We talked about it in the definition as a person who expects or is excessively ready to accept failure. Having a defeatist attitude is one that has given up to defeat before you've even gotten started. Such as a runner who is convinced he's going to lose the race, that he doesn't even bother going to the starting line. When we think about defeatism, we think about Jesus in the wilderness. It was Satan's number one goal was to defeat the devil. It was Satan's number one goal, to defeat Jesus there in the wilderness. I had a bleep there for a second. But we think about this, and we think about the devil's number one goal was to defeat Jesus. And Brother Steve, so that Jesus would not finish his purpose on this earth. The devil's number one goal for you and for me would for you and I to be defeated before we even get started. When we think about the terminology, we think about this word. And again, this is, I didn't even know this. I said this morning. I never heard this word in my life. I never even knew that there was a word, defeatism. And it just, boom, there it was. And it came and I began to study this. And it's a real word. And it says that defeatism is this. Watch this. Defeatism is admitting, expecting, or no longer resisting defeat. You just accept defeat. But yet Paul, this great apostle Paul, told you and I that we're to fight the good fight of faith. That we're to rise up in the church And we're to rise up and we're to be the man of God or the woman of God that Jesus died for, and that Jesus died for your victory, and Jesus died for you. Again, when you think about defeatism, by definition, it went on to tell us these simple little things. It said believing that your future effort would be useless. And that thing got in my spirit because I would begin to associate it with so many people in the church today. Just give up and quit. What is even the use of me crawling out of bed on a Sunday morning and even going down there to the church because it's redundant, it's the same old every time I go. But my friend, that is accepting defeat before you even get here. You don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. But when we begin to think about this, it said defeatism is believing that future effort would be useless. What would Jesus, what good would it have done Jesus there when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness to just throw his hands up and just say, okay, it's over. We're done. This is it. And I'll be honest with you, at Thomasville Church of God, listen to me. We've got into this plateau. We've got into this place in the church that we've accepted defeatism by our actions. We've accepted that this is as good as it gets, that we'll never grow, that we'll never see any new faces, that we'll never be able to reach any new families, that they're somewhere else doing something else, and we sort of just settle into this lull, if you will, and we accept things as we see them. We can't do that. When we begin to think about defeatism again, let me go a little further. Defeatism is believing that future would be useless, or believing that a future effort, would be useless. And I just had to put this in my little notes right here because I still believe this, that you've got to know your purpose. You've got to know that you are a child of God. I remember the old time preachers used to say, you've got to know and you know, or amen. It's you getting out of the bed of the morning and knowing and realizing that you're a child of the Almighty God and that you are hell's worst nightmare. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and quit this mess. Pull yourself together and become the man and the woman of God that is going to become everything that God wants you and me to be. My God, I feel Him already. Defeatism tells us, believing that nothing matters because things will always end negatively. We'll never make it. We'll all be doomed. And we see that when we have a mindset that we're already defeated, it's believing that nothing matters because things will always end negatively. But yet we understand the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells you and I've read the back of the book, and honey, we win. Hold on a little longer. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to tell somebody, your greater days are ahead of you, my God. Don't you give up too early. Don't you quit before you receive your destiny. Don't you quit before God is done with you and for you. God is for you and not against you. Jesus was led of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why was Jesus led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? This is my answer. When you do it, you give your answer. But this is my answer. So that Jesus Christ could have the opportunity to defeat him one on one. And Jesus could plummet hell. And Jesus could knock his lights out right there. And Jesus could make an open show of him. And then Jesus, my friend, would and we would know even to this day that Jesus defeated needed him when he was his weakest, when he was his most vulnerable, and when Jesus was there and the Spirit of God said, go get him, sick him. You might be weak in your body. You may not feel very good tonight. You may feel like your day is over, but he's coming after you, and be ready for him when he gets there. Jesus was weak, but here's the thing the devil forgot. When we read the text in Luke, that the Bible said that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you tonight that when you get full of the Holy Ghost, there ought not be any negativism come off the tip of your lip. Amen. In Jesus' name, you're healed. In Jesus' name, you're not the tail, you're the head. In Jesus' name, you're not defeated. In Jesus' name, you're more than the conqueror. So it's time for the church to rise up and become the church that God wants us to become. Amen. Are you alive tonight? Are you breathing? So when we think about this whole thing about defeatism, defeatism is showing that you have no hope and that you are expected to fail. Again, defeatism is showing that you have no hope and that you expect to fail. It's the concept of the Christian church accepting what the enemy throws at us and tries to defeat us. But God just sent me by this weekend to tell the church, you're not doomed. We're not serving a defeated Jesus. We're not serving a failed Jesus tonight. We're not serving a doomed Jesus tonight. And so many today, they will accept what the enemy throws at them. Jesus, again, the Bible says, and you begin to look at this, the Bible says that Jesus was led of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus entered into a warfare. Whether you realize this or not, you are in a spiritual battle. You are in a spiritual warfare. May I submit unto you tonight that the devil don't care anything about your dogs. He don't care. The devil don't care anything about your car. The devil don't care anything about your house. The devil don't care about any of that. What the devil wants is your mind. What the devil wants is your soul. What the devil wants is you to live in a life of defeat, and you, my friend, to give up and throw your hands up and end up in a devil's hell that was not created for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels. But I tell you, if there've ever been a day and a time that the church of the living God needs to shake herself again, that she needs to rise up and shine, and she needs to get full of the power of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. You ought to become the devil's greatest nightmare. Amen. The devil ought to have your name in his hall of fame, if you will. That's looking for hell's most 10, most wanted. Your name ought to be there tonight, because we're doing everything, Brother Beckner, we can do to storm the gates of hell tonight and to take back what the enemy has stolen away. He's stolen our families. He's stolen our kids. He's stolen our destinies. He's stolen our future. He's robbed us of our joy. He's taken our happiness. And the devil does that, and he sits back and he grins at the church now, and he says, I got them now. I got them now. I got them right where I want them. But I'm telling you, friend of mine, It would behoove the devil tonight if everybody would come to church with a praise upon their lips and a song in their heart, and we would sing, look what the Lord has done, and we would glorify God. It would confuse the devil. The devil would say, what happened to them people over there at 1200 West Holly Hill Road? They done and got a hold of something. Amen. The devil came at Jesus. But you and I this evening, we have been given the Word of God so that you and I don't have to be blinded to the enemy. You ready, Jan? You don't have to be blinded to the devil. Here's what the Word of God says, several different places. We're going to read quite a bit of Scripture. So I want you to get a hold of this. How do we defeat Satan this evening? First of all, we've got to be keenly aware through the discernment of the Spirit what is of Satan and what is of God. You say, well, preacher, I get confused. I don't understand. And it's hard for me to discern what's of God and what's of the devil. Can I give you something real simple? Real simple is this. Anything that glorifies Jesus, anything that edifies this book, anything that magnifies God is of God Himself. The devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. May I say something to you without being offensive to you? The church, little by little, is like a tire on a vehicle that's got a slow leak. A blowout's a blowout. You know a blowout when it happens. I've got a slow leak in the right corner tire on my pickup truck. I bought that truck in February, and guess what? It's had a slow leak ever since I bought it. Because it's so slow of a leak, it really doesn't affect its daily duty as a vehicle that I drive. Somebody says, why don't you get it fixed? I don't know why I haven't got it fixed. I can't tell you why. But the matter is, every now and then I have to go put air in it. You know, Brother Russell? But it's just like what I'm trying to get to is the church is like a slow leak. It's not really enough that it needs a whole lot of my attention. And it's not one of those things that's really destroying me. And little by little, the church has become that sleeping church. Are you with me? In the Bible, if we're going to win and tear down the strongholds, we've got to do exactly what God said in the Word. If you go into 1 Peter, and you go and you look and see what 1 Peter says, how are we going to defeat defeatism? He tells us here in the Scripture, if you look at this in 1 Peter 5 and 8, the verse Scripture, and I'm just going to leave that right there. 1 Peter 5 and 8, this is what he says. When you begin to look at this, he says to be sober. We cannot be lullabied and rocked to sleep by the enemy of our soul. If something in your spiritual person is not right, it's not God's responsibility, first of all, to make it, it's yours. And you say, well, how am I going to do that? I've got to go to prayer. I got to get myself back to where I know God wants me to be. The Bible teaches you and I to be sober. Gideon's army. I'm going to preach on that in a couple of weeks. I've already started reading a little bit over in the book of Judges. We're not going there right now. But Gideon, the way they defeated the Amalekites when they went over. Amorites when they went over. I think it's the Amorites, but I'll look at it later. But anyway, they had to be vigilant. If the church is asleep, she's not vigilant. If we're accepting defeatism, This whole thing, to be sober, to be vigilant, is to be awake, to be aware. Let me ask you a question. You're going to get mad at me, but we can get through it together. How many in this room is comatose in your spiritual life? You've been dead so long, you don't even know you're dead anymore. You've accepted your life as it is spiritually for so long, you don't even know there's more of what God is wanting to do, because you've got used to the status quo, which means to be enough. You're comfortable. You go into warfare, friend, it's not comfortable. There is nothing comfortable about warfare. There is nothing comfortable about battling a spiritual battle that you have to fight with the devil inside of your heart and inside of your mind, inside of your life. Can I pick on you just a little bit? Brother Steve and I talked a whole lot about a year ago, and the devil had so come into his mind that he had him so confused about so many things in life. And you know what turned this man's life around? When this man had enough. And he had enough, and he began to, to have the opportunity to praise God and to worship God and to glorify God, sit at his kitchen table and pour his heart out before God. Brother Steve sends out songs, and I don't get a chance to listen to all of them. He says, it's my ministry. It's what God told me to do. It's encouraged him so much that he wants to encourage you. The Bible says we've got to be vigilant. Sober and vigilant. Vigilant is, again, to be aware, to be awake. If the church of Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, and we're not turning there right now, but he told him, he said, it's time and past time and high time to awake. If there's anything I can tell you and I this evening, if we're going to defeat the devil in the day and the hour that we're living in, it's time for the church to arise. It's time for the church to wake up. You say, well, preacher, that's not me. Throw it over your shoulder to your neighbor. Throw it behind you. But the day you own it is the day your life will change. As long as you keep saying, it ain't me, it ain't me, it ain't me. Somebody else, but it ain't me. Until you own it, your life ain't changing. Jesus was under attack. Hey, my friend, it's not a sinful thing to be under attack of the devil. If it was, Jesus would have sinned. The devil hated him, Brother Steve. The devil hated Jesus. And may I tell you, and may I just put this out there by air mail, but he hates you too. He said, because to be sober and to be vigilant. Why? Because you have an adversary, opponent. You say, well, the devil never bothers me. It's because he has you. This message is for you. God sent me by this weekend for you. The devil never bothers me. It's for you. Be sober to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, Diablo in Spanish. Sorry, Kayla. My eyes went. The devil wants to kill Kayla as much as he wants to kill me because she represents God. She represents Jesus. Why do you think you've went through the warfare you've went through? God has a greater destiny for you. Don't you be a pawn in the devil's hand. Don't you be a ploy in the devil's hand. My God, rise up. Get bold. Our young people today, they don't know. It's just like that crowd run through Walmart last night. They have no idea. Don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. Because your adversary, the devil, watch this. He goes about as a roaring lion. A roaring lion. Every antelope on the plain of Africa knows the king of the jungle. His roar can be heard 2 miles away. And all he has to do, my brother, is open his mouth and go, roar, like a big lion. And every animal on the plain, ears stick up to attention. But the church is asleep because we've become satisfied. Because we don't want warfare. Because warfare costs. Warfare hurts. Warfare is lonely. Warfare is dangerous. Warfare, my friend, is not comfortable. But if you're ever going to get to where God wants you to go, you're going to have to do warfare. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. He don't care as a roaring lion. Hey, can I tell you something? I studied about this not long ago. The devil don't look for the strongest antelope on the plain. Or gazelle. Is that what they're called? Them things that bounce, the gazelle. He don't look for the strongest or the one that's jumping the highest. He don't look for the biggest hippopotamus in the pond. He looks for the weakest, the smallest, the most troubled, the most disturbed. And he says, right here's Julie. Julie's been through a lot lately. Let's just let this be Julie's week. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And the devil starts right here. That's 6 inches right here to right here. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible says that we got to gird up the loins of our mind. Ephesians 6, let's move forward. Whom he may devour. Ephesians 6 teaches us. When you look in Ephesians 6 and 10, what does it say? He teaches us in the Word what we're to do. We're to put on the armor of God. But it reminds us, let me go back, Jen. I probably went way ahead. I didn't write it down the way I should have. I thought I did not. Let's go back to what finally brought, yeah, that's good. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Here's another key. Understand it's not your battle. It's God's battle. Move with me. 11. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Paul writes this because Paul understood the militant warfare of the Roman soldiers. And he knew that it was a warfare, Brother Russell. He knew that it was a battle. My friend, living for Jesus is not a cakewalk. I don't want to be guilty of telling you. Say, well, is it worth it? Oh, yes, it's worth it. It's well worth it. Amen. But there's nothing about it, Brother Beckner, that's going to be easy. Because the day that you call on the name of Jesus, it's like there's a target put on your back. Or, am I telling the truth? And your life, my friend, will be an absolute target for the enemy to do everything he can because the Bible, leave that one there. The Bible teaches us about the devil's job description. His very employment is simply to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But just because he's got an assignment don't mean that you and I have to live in defeat. The devil is already a defeated foe. Get that in your mind. He's going to tempt Jesus. He's going to tempt you. He's going to try to take you out. He's going to try to take you down. But here's the shift. He's already, Brother Bob, he's already defeated. I don't have to defeat the devil. The devil is already defeated. I don't have to defeat him. He was defeated on Calvary. He was defeated on that when the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. All of hell began to tremble because the devil was defeated. You just need to start serving God. You just need to fall in love with Jesus again. And as you fall in love with Jesus, my friend, those old cold, dark chains of bondage will begin to fall off of you. And the heavy bands that you've been walking around under will begin to fall off. My God, help me, Jesus. He said in this scripture, put on the whole armor of God. That you might be able to stand, not fall. We've had too many church casualties, too many Christian casualties, too many churches closing their door casualties, too many pastors casualties. Hundreds every week decide they can't do this no more for a lot of reasons. That's why you need to pray for your preacher. If you don't even like me, pray for me. If you don't even like what I'm doing right now, pray for me. And you too. That you might be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the attacks. He beguiled Eve in the garden, and who do you think you are? He's going to do everything he can to beguile you. He'll whisper in, I'm going to use Brother Steve. This is not happening. But he'll whisper in Brother Steve's ears, that preacher don't like you. That person didn't talk to you going down the hallway. You don't know how many times I've dealt with that in this church. So-and-so walked right by me and they didn't even speak to me. Well, you speak to them. Well, they must not like me because that's nothing but the devil. The pure devil. Are we okay? I've not been preaching that long, have I? But then he says, against the wiles of the devil, with every temptation, Bob, what does the Bible say? God will make a way of escape. Verse 12, go on. I got to hurry. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Really? Julie's not my enemy. Russell's not my enemy. You're not my enemy. But the devil will do everything he can to put brother and sister, brother and brother, or sister and sister at odds with each other because that's where he has his heyday. He has his heyday. When you get to nitpicking one another and you get to trying to dissect one another and tear each other apart just because you think it one way and they think it another way, I taught you a long time ago that some people like chocolate and some people like vanilla. If you don't like vanilla, honey, you just keep eating your chocolate and let me eat my vanilla. Come on, somebody. We're never all going to like the same thing. We're not robots. But we can believe on God. My God, I feel Him in this room. We can believe on Him, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power, against principalities, against powers. These are satanic ranks. These are satanic ranks. If you begin to look at the ranks of satanic power, here it is, principalities against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those angels that fell in the beginning, they were there with Satan, Lucifer. In the beginning, they were part of the praise of heaven. And when the enemy was cast out of heaven, what was it, Brother Raymond? One third of the devil, the angels are preserved in darkness until the day of their judgment. They bought into his lie. Quit buying into his lie. God ain't defeated you, Julie. You're not a defeated person. We've been around each other a long time, and I know what you've been through. You're not defeated.
No, I am not.
Abby, you're not defeated. You're in my line of sight. Chuck, you're not defeated. Summer, these young people today, the devil's doing everything he can. Lucy, Emily, you're not defeated. Quit accepting what the enemy throws at you. Let's go further. I got to hurry real quick. I got to really hurry. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Put your armor on, that you might be able to withstand against the evil day. It's coming. It's here, the evil day. If today's not your day, prepare. Your day will be tomorrow, because he's going to do it. I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm trying to tell you that the devil will fight you and the devil will fight me. He said, but when you've done all to stand, next verse, look what he says. Stand. The word stand means to stand and to keep on standing. Keep on standing. Therefore, having your loins girt with truth, stand in the truth. The breastplate, stand in righteousness, move quickly. 4:15. And your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Don't be a troublemaker. I hear stories of things and other places and pastors that's going through horrific pain, fighting church bosses and fighting people in the church that has this dominating, overwhelming authoritative or some type of self-given authority, like they're God's gift to humanity. The only authority I have tonight is His authority. That word. I don't have to push my authority. I don't have to say I'm the boss man. I don't even like that term. I'm the pastor, the shepherd. I'd rather love you than fight you. Come on, somebody. Because God ain't never called us to that. I ain't looking for no trouble. I ain't running from no trouble. But I don't want to pastor a church that's full of trouble. Come on, somebody. And the only way you can keep this from happening is to love that person sitting next to you, even when they're eating chocolate ice cream and you're eating vanilla. Shake your little head, yes, because you know what I'm talking about. Because we're all different. This goes so much deeper than this. Is that all of that, 15? Let's look at this next thing. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Pulling down strongholds. That's all of that for right now. Let's go forward real fast. We're going to do this. We're going to do this let me back up before I get to that point. Because he says here that you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The only way I know how to say this is to say it. You must not set yourself up for defeat, and you must not entice evil, wickedness. You must not be one that would invite evil to your home. Now, I'm going to get on a little soap dish here for a minute, because the Bible says that you were one time darkness, but now you are children of the light. What does that mean? That means to stay away from evil. That means to stay away from demonic powers and demonic things. The Bible in Thessalonians teaches us to flee the very appearance of evil. The Bible teaches us to be not partakers of other men's sin. A spiritual battle in the unseen will always manifest itself in the seen. What do you mean? A spiritual battle in the unseen will always manifest itself in the seen. It will show you itself. Now I'm getting ready to get in a little bit of a slippery area right here. I know what date it is pretty much on the calendar. Sometimes I forget and have to ask you on Sunday morning. Is it okay if I get in trouble right here? Thank you. About six of you said yes, so you better be the sixth that's going to walk me out of here. You can go. So many houses around this church right now, right out this road in particular, in different places. Their yards, Brother Beckner, looks like a scene from hell. Demonic, witches, zombies, blood, bodies hanging from trees. You say, what are you talking about? Halloween. And you would think as much evil as we got in our world today, that people would wake up and see and understand it's so evil. Friend, I don't even turn my lights out on that particular night. I live so far off the road they wouldn't come anyway, but I sure enough ain't going to invite them. If you want a Snickers bar, God bless you. You tell me you want a Snickers bar, honey, and I'll get you a whole bag. You don't have to dress up your child like a little demon and send him out the road and teaching your children how to become a demon as a child. And somebody said, well, you're going to really get people mad at you now. If you want to do a pumpkin or a harvest, whatever you want to do. But for God's sake, don't put a demon outfit on your kid. And somebody said, well, my kid acts like a little demon. Well, that's between you and the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to do it. Why? Ephesians 4:27 says this, neither give place to the devil. And you're inviting things into your home. And somebody said, well, I like to watch Halloween on TV and Friday the 13th. And I like to watch Jason. And I like to watch these horror films. And no wonder your mind's a wreck. Amen. I don't even watch TV. Very rarely. It was loving last night. Unique last night. I was sitting on the couch with two dogs on my lap. And I was sitting there studying and reading. And Sherry was doing the same thing. And Russell, we just sat there for 2 hours. She done her quietness and I done my quietness. And we didn't even turn on the TV. I'm going, wow, that's cool. And if you watch TV, that's your business. That's your chocolate. But my vanilla is me sitting quiet on my couch and just letting the world relax for a little bit. Whatever floats your boat, friend. But don't do it for evil. You say, well, preacher, hurry up and get done. I am. This is the time on God's clock that He gave me today. This is God's time on the clock that He gave me. When this moment's over in just a few minutes, it's over. It was the time on God's clock that He gave Thomasville Church of God. And this is what God told me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to hurry. I promise I will hurry. It don't really mean nothing, but I just said I was going. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what it says in verse 1. Has this made any sense? Because we live in defeatism. And we get defeated right here before we ever get defeated anywhere else. And this is what the scripture says. When you look in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. I'll turn there too. And it helps us all to look at this. 2 Corinthians 10. I'll get there too. Verse number 1, he opens it up like this right here. He said, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in his presence I am base among you, and being absent I am bold towards you. He says, but I beseech you that I may be bold and I am present with the confidence wherein with I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Part of what Paul was saying simply this is my boldness cannot be confused with acts of the flesh because I'm bold in the Holy Ghost. And we need to do that as a church. You can be bold and not arrogant. Shake your little head, yes. You don't have to be arrogant. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be ugly to be bold. Well, I'm just going to tell somebody what. That's not what he's talking about. And he tells them here, we'll get into it in a minute. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Are we okay tonight? He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You cannot fight this thing by the means of the flesh. How am I going to defeat defeatism? How am I going to break this stronghold? The only thing I can tell you is prayer and fasting, just like Jesus. Jesus prayed and Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness. And he was able to defeat the devil right there for the very reason to prove to the devil that he is a defeated foe. And he said here in the word, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here's the next one, verse 5. Casting down imaginations, those thoughts that go against God, and every high thing that exalt itself against the nature of God. Isaiah 1, we talked about that this morning. I'll tell you real quickly what it says. He says in Isaiah 1 and 18, he says, come now, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as wool. When we think about what Paul was saying in breaking down the strongholds, he teaches us again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the nature of God. Jesus said over and over, it is written, it is written, it is written. He did not accept what the devil, he didn't accept the bait. He didn't accept what the enemy was throwing at him. Let me back up for just a second because this was very important. How am I going to defeat defeatism? How am I going to do this? Several things. First of all, you've got to imagine who you would be in Christ Jesus without fear and doubt interfering. You've got to be able, as the Bible said, and this is sort of a twist on words a little bit, but stop confusing honesty for truth. You can be honest and still not be in the truth. The truth, the honesty and the truth, you can be honest, but you got to stand in the truth. I feel defeated. Truth says you're not defeated. So with our confession, we live, and with our confession, we die. Third thing is simply this. How are we going to defeat defeatism? Are you ready? And I like this one. Do what is right, even when you don't feel great. Do what is right. I tell, and I've told, and I don't care to admit it. I told my son, and I've told my son over and over and over and over again in life. Do right long enough and it'll catch up with you. Just do the right thing even when your flesh man is saying to do something different. Another thing is replace I can't with I won't. And simply by that is I'm not going to allow the enemy to defeat me. I can't stand. I can't. Yes, you can. I can't win. Yes, you can. But I'm going to fail. No, I won't. You change this. And you change it up to determine I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to fold in and I'm not going to give up. And then the next thing is simply this. That we have to change and replace for the church, for an example. I said it this morning. I have to get up and go to church in the morning. No. Change that around and it'll change your mindset. I get to get up and go to church in the morning. How many people would like to be able to get up out of the bed and come to church and they can't for physical challenges? The sixth thing is this: remember that you are helping yourself. Helping yourself. When you come to a place in your life that you're not going to allow the enemy to bombard you no more, and you're going to stand and you're going to take a stand against the devil and a stand against sin and a stand against evil and a stand against everything that's destroying you. Again, when we think about that type of thing, we think about the simple thing is that while you're doing this, you are helping yourself. And that is not stingy. That is not selfish. For you to do something for yourself. Hello? Sometimes you got to help yourself. I don't know how many times in my life, and some of you that's in this room, you've been through that process. And Brother Russell, I thought to myself, if I could just call somebody, if I can just talk to somebody that'll encourage me, or somebody that'll just help me to feel better about the situation. But in all reality, in all of those phone calls and all those conversations, it boils down to one thing, Julie. You got to help yourself. You say, what if I'm so weak and I'm so far down? Listen, the further down you go, the further he has to reach, but you're not beyond his reach. He can help you. He can help you. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. The sixth thing and the last thing is simply the seventh thing is this. Oftentimes you've got to work from the outside in. What does that mean? Sometimes this is a definition. This is something I was reading about defeatism and how to overcome it. You've got to work from the outside in. Are you ready for this? This is a big one. This is one of those seatbelt strappers. Sometimes you've got to change your environment. And you've got to change your territory. If you're hanging around people that pull you down all the time and don't do nothing but talk about how defeated you are and talk about how much they don't like you and that they constantly pull you down and constantly have nothing good to say about you, sometimes you've got to change it from the outside in. You've got to relocate your circle. Are you with me? Is that okay? They tell us in recovery, in addiction recovery, what little bit I've had to study about that, trying to understand it a little bit more, there's three things you've got to change. You got to change the places you go, and the things you do, and the people you're with. You got to change your environment. Maybe in the spiritual realm, you've been living on the island of defeat. Maybe you've been living a life of defeat because you constantly go around saying, I'm defeated. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can get out of that wretched state. You can get out of the mully grubs. You can get out of the dumps. You can change your mindset. You can change your life. Anytime you want to. But it's going to cost you. One of the hardest things, and I'm done after this. One of the hardest things, and I've had these conversations recently with people, is to see people that's drowning and throw them the lifeline and beg them, Sister Betty, just grab the rope. Grab the life ring grab the rope. And they just drift without ever making an effort. I've dealt with it, friend. And I'm saying to the church, if you want to change, hold on to Jesus. Let's get a hold of Him as you stand with me. Like I said, I didn't know how long I'd try to share this tonight, but it was in my heart. The Bible says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run. What does it say? Not grow weary. Walk and not grow weary. And they shall run and not faint. We've had too many saints fainting, spiritually speaking. They tell me that an eagle can see a rabbit on the ground for 2 miles. 2 miles in the air because he's vigilant. Eagle faints. I heard that somewhere before. Sometimes if you're an eagle, eagles soar alone. They soar by themselves. They soar up above all the anxieties and all the troubles. They soar sometimes by themselves because they're eagles. You know what buzzards do? They get run over by tractor trailers because they're always pecking on the ground with their head down, eating dead things. I didn't call you a buzzard. I just said this is what buzzards do. I told you what eagles do. You decide whether you're going to be an eagle or you're going to be a buzzard. I'm tired of living on yesterday's has-beens and yesterday's dreams and what yesterday could have been, should have been, might have been, and what we was before we ever come on over here. My God, I feel Him again. I got to quit. Hey, how many of you want a fresh touch? I want to see this side of the... Hey, I'm going to go ahead and say it. If it hair lifts the devil, I want to see what it feels like on this side of Dillon Street, not on that side of Dillon Street. I've heard the stories over there. Let's start making some, my God, let's start making some stories over here so that this city will know what the Church of God is doing over here at 1200 West Holly Hill. Are you okay tonight? Shake about 10 people's hands and get out of here. I'll see you Wednesday night over in the fellowship hall. It's going to be a different atmosphere, but we're going to be